Thank you, Les. Brother Warren can play golf better than Les, too.
You ask him.
Sheer luck. Why, it's been a real week, one of enjoyment, real Christian fellowship, and we've had a precious time around the Word of God. And I believe that God has already blessed His Word, and that we're thankful to Him for this. I want you to turn tonight to the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, or rather chapter 21, and we'll speak on the subject of heaven tonight as announced. It's a very easy and delightful subject for me to take up, because that's what we're looking forward to, all the Christians, is that wonderful place called heaven. And unfortunately, as we said already, a lot of people that's talking about heaven and even singing about it are not going there. It's unfortunate, but they can, and know the joy, the absolute assurance that they're on the way to this place. Revelation 21, reading from verse 1, and John is writing what he saw and what he was told. Said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Sea always speaks of turmoil. Whenever you hear the read of the sea, like the beast came up out of the sea, political disturbance. But here in this heaven, there's no more sea. Absolute peace, tranquility. And then it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." I'm sure we could sigh a real amen for that. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done, for I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east side, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and length and breadth and height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. Everybody worried about making a little bit of gold down here. Well, there'll be plenty up there in that day. And that city, that beautiful city, pure gold. And it won't have the same value like it does here, but it certainly will be beautiful. The value is altogether different. Like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and so on. Read down chapter verse 23, rather. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. They which are written in the Lamb's book of life, that includes us, right? Those that are written in the Lamb's book of life, every believer. All right, verse 1 of 22, and he showed me a pure river of water. You hear a lot of people speaking about rivers up there. There's no river, one river, one tremendous river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, not street, I shall walk the streets of gold. No, street, one long street. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruit, some tree, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And listen, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Not just 1,000 years, but forever and ever. So cheer up, child of God. The best is yet to come. It won't be long before you'll realize it. So let's be busy and do what we can. Be faithful to him so that we will get our reward. And God does work on a reward system, by the way. That's not the subject tonight. The judgment seat of Christ is a place where the Lord Jesus will give out the trophies at the great heavenly Olympics, if I may call it that, where you'll be able to wear your crown according to our faithfulness. Heaven, the place of peace and tranquility, the place of joy and family reunion. And of course, in the Bible, you read the word heaven so many, many times. In fact, 600 times nearly, you'll read the word heaven, 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 heaven. And if you really do not understand the various terms, the Hebrew words for the heavens as mentioned in the Bible, you're going to be confused and sidetracked. And it'll be very difficult for you to understand. There's no such thing as a seventh heaven, as you hear a lot of people talk about. There are three heavens that the Bible refers to quite often. And the first one is mentioned constantly, several times. And that's the atmospheric heavens. That's the heavens about us. The Shamayim, as it is called in the Hebrew. Then there's the Golgol, which is the atmospheric, or the planetary heavens, I should say. And then, of course, the third heaven, the abode of God, is an entirely different Hebrew name in itself. And in the New Testament, you have the same thought. Three different Greek words, three of them denoting three distinct places. And you'll get confused unless you understand the setting. You've got the atmospheric heavens. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But that heaven there is not the abode of God. That's the atmospheric heavens just around the earth. But then as you get out into the planetary heavens, that's another realm in itself. And that's really tremendous, the planetary heavens. And I believe, personally, that I'm going to learn a lot about the planetary heavens. You see, God is too big. There's a lot up there that we just do not understand. You take your telescope and you look, and by the way, most atheists look through their microscopes. Not too many atheists look through telescopes, because out there they see things too big and they can't understand it. That's why you find them looking at microscopes, little things, smaller than they are, you see. But oh, my friends, you can't be an infidel for long if you take your telescope and look out there in the planetary heavens. And when you see what's out there, you're baffled. They tell us now that they've got galaxies out there millions of light years away. Light years. The speed of light travels per second, as you know, 186,200 roughly miles per second, 1,000 miles per second. And just talk, when you talk about one light year, I'm lost. I'm not a mathematician. I just get lost in my mathematics. But just imagine, it takes them years to get out to the nearest one that's out there. That is light years. And oh, beloved, we get out there and in our new body, that body that will be our glorified body. And I believe if I want to take a trip, if I want to go with him, as we have in Ephesians 2:7, because in there he will manifest to the countless ages of eternity. He will manifest to us his kindness and his grace. He's going to teach us and show us things that we couldn't possibly take in now. It'll be a new era of adventure. I can't say time, because there's no such thing as time. Timeless being out there in eternity. And so then, this heaven, the heaven of heavens, the abode of God, we do not know too much about this place. We just know it as the abode of God. When God came down from heaven, we're told, that's about all we know. And of course, as I said, there's no biblical base for any other heaven. And Jesus said, touch me not, I have not ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. He said, I haven't ascended yet. And so he would ascend to this place. People always ask, well, where is heaven? Is it the new earth? Of course not. Is it the new Jerusalem? The new Jerusalem is a heaven, but that's not the abode of God. And we have to understand this. Then where is it? Scientists tell us that there is an opening in the north toward the North Star. That's what they've discovered now when they thrust their spaceships into space. They go for that hole in the north. There is a hole up there. And the magnetic meridian that we have our compasses made by, that strange power that draws the needle to the north, I'm sure you know about that. And there it is, a hole in the north. And two verses in the Old Testament says, promotion cometh not from the south, neither from the east, neither from the west, but it comes from where? The north. They say that heaven is in the north. Well, I'm not really interested in knowing whether it's from the north or not. It's not that important. In the book of Job, it also suggests heaven is in the north. But scientists are telling us that way out there in the north, there is a glow, a glare, that they cannot decipher. The most powerful telescopes that they have, they say there's something there. I wonder sometimes if that's the City Four Square that's already built, already prepared, just waiting for the time when the Lord Jesus will come to set up his kingdom, and of course we will be taken there. He said that in John 14, let not your heart be troubled, because if you believe in God, first that I go to prepare a place for you. If you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many resting places. He said, but I'm going to give you a special place. I'm going to prepare a special place for you. I'm going to come again. I will come again. The personal return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will come again. In Acts chapter 1, the angel said to the disciples, men, why stand ye gazing, looking into heaven? The same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven shall in like manner come. It's the same Jesus. He's not going to send Gabriel, Michael, no Moses, no Elijah. He is going to come himself and claim his waiting bride.
His church. And that's the moment that we're looking for. And it could happen at any day. That's why we're jealous, in a sense, for you. The devil is making a bid for people today. You may be here tonight and you're not a Christian. He's making a bid for your soul. That's why we're preaching the gospel, because we want you to join the happy band. We want you to follow. We want you to come the Christ way, the gospel way. My friend, this is an exciting moment for the child of God, for the church of Jesus Christ. Listen, I shouldn't say that, but it's going to be something to see some of these sinners flopping down here in this world trying to get off the ground. They're just not going to make it. But the church, the Christian, he and she, they're going. It's going to be a time of rejoicing such as never been known by us as believers. And what a day it is. I'm looking forward to that day. And beloved, let's face it. This is a world of sorrow, a veil of tears and disappointment. And so it's something to look forward to. Only a few men in the Bible have had the privilege of just having a glimpse of this heaven. In Isaiah chapter 6, we're told that Isaiah the prophet, as the cherubims came, the seraphims rather, and touched his lips with burning coals. And what he saw was just really a beautiful. And yet it was enough to convict him as well of his sin. Remember Stephen in Acts chapter 6, when they stoned him to death, just before his death. It says that heaven opened. He saw heaven. He saw the Lord. He got a glimpse of heaven. He didn't see a great deal, but the Lord took him. No doubt his spirit, absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, 14 years ago I knew a man who was caught up into the third heaven. And I saw things that you just cannot utter. And it took the man 14 years before he told anybody about it. I tell you, if some preachers had an experience like that, they'd want to put it in the paper or be on television the next day. But the Apostle Paul kept it in his heart 14 years. He never told anybody. You know why? He didn't want to be lifted up in pride. God even gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. But it was exciting what he saw. Listen, he wanted to tell it. I believe he was bursting at the seams. He just wanted to let somebody know. And finally, when he felt that he was prepared enough, when he was humble enough, he wrote, just gave us a glimpse, and I saw things. They're beautiful. Too great even to describe. Oh, my friend, Paul just got a glimpse of that. Peter saw a sheep let down from heaven. John, in chapter 4, was caught up into heaven. And it was there that the Lord revealed to him so many things. It says, a door was opened unto me. And so a revelation was given to John. And the Lord Jesus said, I will come again. I'm going to take you there. I go to prepare a place, as I mentioned a little while ago. And it's there we're going to see our loved ones. I really firmly believe this. The Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian believers. You see, a man once told me when I was preaching that we're going to recognize loved ones in heaven. He got so indignant. He came up to me after the meeting. He says, where did you get the audacity to teach that we're going to recognize people in heaven, one another in heaven? I said, my friend, I said, because the Bible teaches that. He said, show it to me. And the only passage I could think of at the time was 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the last verse. And the Apostle Paul said to their Thessalonian believers that he led to the Lord. He said, ye are my crown of rejoicing in that day. Otherwise, Paul said, I'm going to get a crown for being a soul winner. And when I see you that day in glory, that's going to be my reward, my joy. Now, how in the world will he ever get any joy unless he recognizes his converts in glory? You tell me. You explain that. Sure, there's going to be recognition of loved ones. Why, if I could see somebody coming down the street, if I could see Gene in the meeting tonight with that bed, and here he is, I'm up here on the platform, or if I saw him coming in the door, I know that Gene, and I only use a fraction of my mentality down here in this life. What do you think it's going to be like when in heaven we have our glorified body, and we're going to be geniuses, that is all our mental faculty, and even more, we're going to be supernatural beings. I'll be able to see right through you. Sure, we're going to reckon. You mean to tell me we're going to be a bunch of dummies up there and not know? Of course not. If I have enough sense down here to
Well, I agree. I wish some Christians would learn to recognize some believers down here a little more than they do, but up there we're going to recognize them. Sure, we're going to know them. We're going to see them, and we're going to be reunited. It's not going to be like many families. It's going to be one glorious family, the family of God. Every member of that body or that family comprising the church of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be his bride. Man, that's the day when the bride sings, "Here comes the bridegroom." Not "here comes the bride." And the church at the marriage supper of the Lamb, in the preparation of that glorious occasion, he's going to be the honored one. We're going to be privileged just being there. And what a day it's going to be. And we'll sing, "Here comes the bridegroom." Sure, we're going to see loved ones. And above all, we're going to see Christ, whom we have never seen, yet we love him. And we're going to see him. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more weeping, pain, no sin, and no parting, no temptation. Thank God, no more curse, no night, no institution, no mental institution, no jail, no hospital. My friend, this is really what comprises heaven. A great deal is not said about what is there, but rather what is not there. And that's really something to look forward to. No sin. Sometimes we grow homesick for this place. Of course, we have things to do. There are souls to be saved. The Apostle Paul said, "Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven." Oh, thank God for that. My friend, look. The whole world has a problem of refugees. The Cubans out of Cuba, the Haitians out of Haiti. They're all over our island. Some are starved to death. Just recently, 120 of them were forsaken, dumped on an island, an uninhabited island. They were told by the captain of the Haitian boat that another boat would come by, pick them up, and bring them over to Miami. And this was not true. They collected the money, so much per person, left them there to die. Not even as much as fresh water to drink. And this goes on constantly, every day, through the string of islands in the Bahamas. Many of those poor people leave their country thinking that they're going to have some refuge, only to be dumped on a forsaken island, and later we go there, we find skeletons strewn all over the beach or on the bank, the embankment of those islands. I don't know how they can do it, but they do it. People without a country or in pursuit, in search of a country. The boat people in Cambodia, Vietnam, millions of them have been put to death. We hardly hear anything of it, my friend. And then they attacked your embassy in Iran not long ago. They took over and held those people as hostages. Thank God they will not take the Christian hostage. No one will attack our embassy or our city, Four Square. Why? Our citizenship is where? In heaven. Nobody can touch us there. Nobody can destroy our citizenship. It's in heaven. And as ambassadors of Christ, every Christian is an ambassador. And my friend, look, this is not our home. We're only pilgrims passing through. And our real city, our dwelling place, our abode is in the city, Four Square. We're only absent for a while. We're going back there soon. And the job is done here on earth. That's what we are, ambassadors. So we represent our King, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, what do we know about this place? Well, we know it's a real place. And we know that Christ is there with a throne and angels around him. We often sing, "Oh, hallelujah." Yes, it's heaven to know my sins forgiven. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, tis heaven there. That's nice, but nevertheless, there is a real place called heaven. No matter where he is, that's where we want to be. But heaven is real, and it's definite. In fact, it is so real that this place where the Lord is, for scriptures, Psalm 11:4 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven." Isaiah 66:1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. As the God of omnipotence, all power that is, and omnipresent, he's infinite, he's boundless, the God, Jehovah God as we know him, who's all-wise, all-knowing, and he's there. 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon said, who the earth can contain you? Not even the temple can contain you, Lord, because of your greatness. The angelic hosts are there in this place. There are all kinds of angels. There are messengers. There are cherubim, guardians of his holiness. There are seraphim, who are what we call the burning angels, the ones that touched Isaiah's lips. In fact, we never hear too much about the seraphim. Apparently, they don't leave. They rarely ever leave the abode of God. And so they have a ministry. And the angels minister to us today. They have a ministry for children. They have a ministry even for the unconverted. Hebrews 1, the very last verse. Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Boy, that'll hold you. Even over the unsaved, there are angels. I had a boy the other day tell me how near death he was as God was watching over his son. So these angels have a ministry as well. But then, listen, they come to encourage. But then the saints are there, as we already mentioned, absent from the body to be present with the Lord. But then there are those that are not there, and that's a solemn note, a jarring note. The unbelieving, the murderer, the whoremonger, the liar, they're not there. Unless they are transformed by the grace of God. Unless they know the joy of sins forgiven. And this brings us to another thought. There is no record of our sins there. Our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, but no sins. You want verses? I don't have time to turn to them. Isaiah 44:22, Hebrews 8:12. I shall remember thy sin no more. As far as the east is from the west, so have I removed thy transgression. I will remember no more. It isn't that God has a bad memory, but he wills to forget. God has will to put it behind him, forget him once and for all. Now that's the God that we serve. And Christians get judged for sins down here. But there's no record of our transgressions up there. What a joy. Every time I think of this, it makes me rejoice. If I am tempted to think of my past in my unconverted days, thank God, no trace of them. No trace whatsoever. Reminds me of a fellow who was a deserter in the army, to make a long story short. A fellow at the post office where he worked discovered this man's condition. He says, I know who you are, Joe. I know you're a deserter. He says, but don't worry. He says, I'm not going to tell anybody. And you know what he was leading up to? That same week he said, Joe, he said, I need... In England, of course, it is in dollars. He says, I need 5 pounds. He says, 5 pounds? That's a lot of money. Joe, he says, I know your secret. All right. Please, don't say anything. If you do, I'm ruined. And so he gave him the 5 pounds. Following week, he said, Joe, I need some money. He said, not again. He said, I'm broke. I don't have any money. I have other obligations. He said, Joe, he said, I know your secret. And, of course, the man being so frightened, being blackmailed, he gave him another 5 pounds. And that went on for a few weeks, my friend, until the man was so distraught, he didn't know what to do. And this day he said, Joe, I need money. He says, not again. He says, I don't have anything. He says, you just got paid. And so he gave him what he had. He says, remember, I know your secret. Then one day Joe was in the post office and he saw a sign put up there. And it read, a notice from Her Majesty the Queen that anyone that was a deserter from the army, if he would turn himself in, there would be amnesty for him. Just go to the local police station and give himself up and so on and so on. He said, I believe it's a trick. I got a feeling that there's something behind this. They're just trying to catch us. And I don't know whether I should go. And there he stood. And he stood and he read it again. And he read it again. The Queen's signature was on the thing. And he says, what have I to lose? What have I to lose? He said, if I stay here, this man is going to keep me a pauper.
I'll take my chances. As though with fear and trembling, Joe went down to the local police station. He got there and shaking like a leaf, and he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I..." "Yes, sir." He said, I am a deserter. And I saw the sign in the post office." The man didn't even look up. He said, "What's your name, sir?" And he gave his name, Joe, let's say Joe Brown, wrote his name down, and gave him a certificate of release and his freedom. And he couldn't believe his eyes. He went out of that police station. He was so overjoyed with this thing. He kept looking at it, reading it. Then he was free. And he just couldn't get over it. Went back to the post office, and then that man came up to him and he said, "Joe," he said, "I need £5. He said, "I won't pay you a penny." He said, "Joe," he says, "remember," he says, "I know your secret." He says, "And the Queen knows my secret too. See, read it." So I'm a free man. My friend, when I read that story, I said, "Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ knows my secret. He knows my sin. But he has put them behind him and he's forgotten them once and for all." The devil may try to tempt. He may try to bring pressure to bear upon us. And he may try to take away our joy. But listen, we who know Christ are forgiven. And so I will to forget your transgression. There's no record of our sin in heaven. Heaven is a place of realization of our dream of peace. It is a place of relaxation from our labor and our toil. It's a place of expectation of full redemption and glorious things that we shall see. It is a place of satisfaction, full and complete. You know, folks say, "I don't know how you say that you can live, or the church of Christians can live in a place of the city four square." You see, we must understand, we're not going to live in the abode of God. It says the temple of God, God left out of the heavens, he came down from the heavens into the city. And during the millennial glory, 1,000 years in this earth, we're going to be living in this city. That's going to be the heaven of the Christian. God is going to be there. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there. And it's going to be one tremendous light that will light this earth. And it's going to go on, even the new heaven and the new earth. We're going to be up there still. We don't know much about the new earth. One thing we do know, that we're going to reign from that city, the city four square. That's going to be our heaven. And some people say, "Well, how could all the people live in this so-called city four square that you're talking about?" My friend, let me tell you something. That's no small city. That thing's 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. You say high? Yes, high in height. It goes up. You talk about your Empire State Building and the other commerce building up there in New York City. Why, that's nothing compared to this place. It'll go up, and there'll be one winding street, one through, perhaps right down the city itself, and maybe winding like, I don't know. I'm only using my imagination. But I know one thing. It's going to be beautiful. I mean, so dazzling that we just cannot describe it. Someone has said, in fact, they sat down and worked out the cubic miles of this city. And they come up with this figure, 3,375,000,000 cubic miles. Not cubic feet, cubic miles. Now that's a lot of space. With a street through it, the bank, the river that runs through it, the tree of life, which gives fruit every month, that's something 12 crops a year. And that's really significant. You can improve on that. And you know what it says? This fellow went on to say, as he sat down with his pen, I guess he was an architect and the builder, he worked it out where you can have an apartment 50 by 50, 50 feet by 50 feet, and 10 feet high. You could have that size apartment, say, or apartment, to accommodate, I'll hold your breath here, but listen, 20,000
trillion apartments. Now that's a lot of apartments, brother.
20,000 trillion. And you probably have your apartment on your own if you want. I don't know what the Lord's got up there, because you're going to be the Superman. You're going to be real. You're going to be a dazzling light with a form, but with a beautiful, effulgent light. You're going to reflect the glory of Christ. You're going to be made in His image. You're going to have a glorified body, a body, a real body. But it's going to be a body of light, a radiant light, glorious. I can't say much more than that, because that's the light of the city. The Lord Jesus, it says, there'll be no need of light, for He is the light. And we are lights in the world now, but in that day we're going to be literal lights as well, I believe. I really believe that. You're talking about glory? My friend, it hasn't even entered into our hearts yet, or minds, what God has prepared for them that love Him. It's coming. And Jesus said in John 14, if it were not so, I would have told you. I like that. Strong, the words of a gentleman. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. I go to prepare. Oh, what a beautiful place. It's literal, otherwise why give measurements? It's got to be a literal place. A given description, gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, beautiful gems of all sorts, dazzling in all its splendor, and the gates are continually open. All the jokes they talk about St. Peter's up there in the city at the gates, shutting the gates, ridiculous. The gates will never be closed. Men of the new earth, nations, the people that be living down there, apparently will even have entrance to that city. I can't describe. I don't know. We can't go beyond what the Word says. But they're going to bring their glory into it. I wonder what it's meant by that sometimes. Bringing their glory to that city. And after all, the bride is going to be at the side of the bridegroom. The church is the bride. And the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus. We're going to be with Him. And if He's going to go on a trip anywhere, He'll take His bride with Him. He's been away 2,000 years from His bride. And He longs to get His bride home with Him. And I don't believe He's going to leave us for another 1,000 years to come down to the earth and reign. If He comes to the earth, I believe we can come with Him. At least I'm going to ask Him. Lord, I'm going to say, Lord, you're coming to me. We've been down here a long time in that miserable earth. But I don't have to ask Him, because He's going to take us. I wish I could have my wife with me tonight. It's only natural. The prize, the trophy of heaven, the showpiece of heaven is the church of Jesus Christ. The angelic world will look, and the angelic host will look upon the church of Jesus Christ. He'll say, for the countless ages of eternity, these are they that I have redeemed by my blood, washed by my blood, from all nations, from all kindreds, and all tongues of the world. The church of Jesus Christ will be the showpiece of heaven. And why not? The cost of this city is incalculable, really. The lighting system, second to none, perfect. Look what man has done to the great network of wires and cable switches and transformers and Telstar, Hurricane Pictures that are televised back to Earth. These things are just toys compared to what God would do in that day. Just toys. The water system itself. There's no temple there, we're told in Revelation 21:22. But the best part is, there's no curse there. No curse. The curse of sin has really distorted this earth. When sin came into the world, it affected three directions. It affected the earth. It affected man as to its future in this life. And it affected upward, heaven. Christ had to come from heaven and die on that cross, as we saw this morning. Then struck at the very heart of God, He had to send His Son, the darling of His heart, to come down here and die in your place and in my place. But in that day, thank God, no more curse.
own horses.
Whenever I passed that little cemetery, down there at Spanish Wells, every day, a little grave, only about 4 feet long. I won't have to pass that anymore, because we'll be with him. There are no cemeteries, no graveyards in glory, no death, and no sickness. What a day. Can't hardly wait to get there. My friend, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want you to know you can join us. But you must come by way of the cross. You have to come to the Lord Jesus, receive him as your Savior, repent of your sin, take him into your heart, like we have, or else you will never make it. It's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. I am the way. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No, maybe, hope to be, you think so? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, boy. No other way. No other way. I have to just let you know that wonderful truth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You say tonight, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, it's too bad. You'll never make it to heaven, because he only came for the sinners. There is a verse that says, he came not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And someone said, and it was Mr. Gibbs, bless his heart, he's in glory now, but old A.P. used to say, you know why he didn't come for the righteous? Because there are no righteous. And Mr. Gibbs was so right. It's only when a man takes the place of a sinner and says, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and God can do something for him or for her. It is our prayer indeed, should there be any in our meeting tonight, that you will trust the Lord. Oh, you might be saying, but I have my own way, my own church, and it isn't churchianity. I've been baptized, and I'm this. Look, friends, please, we're not talking about church affiliation. We're not talking about baptism. We're not talking about a registered member of any ecclesiastical system. What we're talking about is a new birth from above. Genuinely being born from above by the Spirit of God. A moment in your life where you had an encounter with him, where you trusted him as your Savior and Lord. That's what he means. I hope you do it tonight. Shall we pray? Father, how we thank you for all that is ahead for us as Christians in that beautiful place called heaven. We long to be in your presence. We realize that we have a responsibility in carrying out the gospel of Christ. Oh, Lord, there are loved ones that are not saved. There are children of thy children that are not saved, and they're not ready. How we pray for them. It's heartbreaking to see so many that are rejecting Christ. Lord, in your mercy, if there's any here tonight that's doing it, we pray and plead the throne of heaven, speak to their hearts, show them their need of Christ. Save them, Lord, before it's too late. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our hymn. One that we've been having night after night, 373. I hope you're not tiring of the words, but it's a beautiful invitation hymn. Charlotte Elliott was led by the Spirit when she wrote that beautiful hymn, Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I'm going to ask you to stand, and if you hear it,
and you're not a Christian, again, we'd like to invite you to meet with us. If you want to remain in your seat, fine. But if you'd like to step out of your seat and meet us here to the front, feel free to do so. Before the crowd disperses, you just come, and we'll have a word with you, show you how you can be saved. You can leave this place tonight, knowing Christ is your Savior and your Redeemer. Shall we say? Yourself.